This week we are reading two parshiyos, parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, so we will have three divrei Torah from each of them. So we're going to start towards the beginning of parshas Vayakel, the discussion of Shabbos Kodesh, keeping Shabbos, even though there's the mitzvah to build the Mishkan, but don't do it on Shabbos. And the pasuk says not only about the importance of keeping Shabbos, but it says specifically one of the Lamites Malachos, it spells it out, Lo tevarueish b'chol moshuasechem b'yom ha-Shabbos. Be careful, don't burn a fire when it comes to Shabbos. So there's an interesting vort here and an interesting musr here from the Shla and also the Baal HaKedah that says as follows, that Shabbos is a day of rest. It's a Yom Menucha. And it's also a time of getting together as a community and dealing with communal needs. But unfortunately, just like that has an upside, that has a downside as well, because people, now that they had more time on their hands and they want to address needs of the community, but there are times that people get a little bit too involved in attacking parts of the community, the Rav, the Chazen, the Gabbai, they don't like the Talmud Torah, they talk about the schools, and this is negative and that's negative. And accordingly, the Torah is coming to teach us, Lo tevaru eish b'chol moshvoseichem. Shabbos is day of a menucha. It is not a day for eish, fire. In other words, it's not a day for machlokes. It's not a day to be speaking lashon hara and getting people riled up about things. On Shabbos in particular, don't burn that fire of machlokes. This is a special day of rest, a day of kedusha, and not a day of machlokes. We're going to move on now, same posuk, to the second Vartorah, and we're going to ask why specifically we have Lamites Malachos. We can just say keep Shabbos. Why do we have to spell out a specific one? And in particular, if we're spelling out a specific one, why was it chosen by the Torah to spell out don't burn fire on Shabbos? So the Tiferes Yehonasan says brilliantly, very interesting. He says, if you look at the first Luchos, the Ten Commandments, it says the reason for Shabbos. Why do we keep Shabbos? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu Sheishis Yami Masa Hashem Es HaShamayim Ves HaAretz Uvayom HaShvi Shavas V'inafash. 6 days the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, created the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day HaKodesh Baruch Hu rested. So what would we have thought? We would have thought that those malachas that existed during the 6 days of creation, we have to refrain from. So there was the ability to plow, and there was the ability to water, and the ability to squeeze out in schita. But there was one thing that didn't exist during those 6 days until Motzei Shabbos. It was only on Motzei Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam HaRishon, gave him the ability to make fire. So we would have thought that the Lamites Malachos really should have been only a Lamed Ches Malachos, 38 Malachos, because this concept of making a fire didn't exist during the 6 days. So we would have thought that there's no Isser to burn fire on Shabbos. The whole reason for our keeping Shabbos is to mimic the 6 days of creation. Just like the 6 days of creation, there were certain things that could be done and not be done. So too, thereafterward, Kamash Molin is coming to teach us, specifically at the beginning of our parsha, it says, keep Shabbos, but be careful. Don't burn fire, because fire is indeed included in the Lamites Malachos. We are now moving on to the third of the Divrei Torah, talking about the Nesim and the various donations that were given to the building of the Mishkan, for the making of the Bigdei Kahuna, the clothing for the Kohanim. And the pasuk says, we're now in Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chaf Zayin V'Hanisim Hey Viu Es Havnei Shoam. The Nisim brought the Avnei Shoam. Those were the gems, the expensive stones that were used in the Ephod, in the Nechoshen of the Kohen Gadol. And in fact, Rashi, it's a famous Rashi, says that why does it say, spell Nisim? These are the 12 leaders. It spells it without Yuds. Instead of spelling Nisim as the typical way, Nun, Sin, Yud, Aleph, Yud, Mem, Nesi'im, it spells it without the Yuds. So Rashi explains that when it came to all the donations of Klal Yisrael, the Nesi'im took a little bit of a lackadaisical approach. They said, let all the tzibur, let everyone donate whatever they will give, and whatever's lacking will make up for it. And it shows that they were a little bit lazy. That's Rashi's language. Shenitatzlu tchila. At the beginning, they didn't have the alacrity to jump in. This rizus to go and do that mitzvah. So here, when it's come to spelling of their name, Nisim, it's had spelled it without the yud. So the question that the Avnei Ozel asks is, why specifically did it leave the yud out? Why didn't it leave the aleph out, the mem out? Why specifically the yud? So he explains as follows, that's what's the yud? The yud here, and what's the sin that they did, or the lack of desire, burning passion to do a mitzvah. So here we saw that they sat back and they did not participate together with the tzibur. They were poised from the tzibur. Everyone else was going to do the mitzvah, receive the donations, give the donations, but they sat back and didn't involve themselves with the tzibur. They said, we'll give it afterward. So when it comes to when you make something from a yechidus, in dictum, when we make a word from lashon yachid, single tense, to plural tense, it's the yud that's necessary. For example, here you go from a nasi, talking about one of the chieftains, the leaders of the shevet, of the tribe, to make it plural, you need a yud. Nisi'im, you always need a yud to make it something that's plural. And that's what was lacking. They looked themselves here, let's sit back and act as yechidim rather than participating with the tzibur. Accordingly, that yud, which is necessary to make something plural tense, that's what was left out. I think we can say even maybe something more fundamental than looking at diktuk, yud is what's necessary for a minyan. Yud, accordingly, represents the tzibur. That is the tzibur. Aleph, ani, is me. Aleph is a single. If we have the word ani, aleph, nun, yud. Aleph, nun, yud, ani is me. Yud at the end of it is the minyan, and nun is the chamishim gates of tahara, the 50 gates of purity that will lead us from going to, from thinking of ourselves as an individual, the aleph, to the yud at the end of it, ani, being a tzibur. So here, the yud represents the tzibur. Accordingly, the yud was left out from their word, the nisim. Now we're moving forward to Parshas Pekudei, and we are going to start in Perek Lametet, Pasuk Zayin. It says, talking about the Ephod, Avnei Zikaron Livnei Yisrael, that there were 12 stones that were put onto the Ephod, engraved with the names of each of the Shvatim. And here, interestingly, it says, doesn't say Avanim Livnei Yisrael, it says Avnei Zikaron. Stones of remembrance to Bnei Yisrael. What are we trying to remember here is the question. So in fact, Chazal tell us, just to hark back to Yosef and the danger that he was in, and when he was encountered by the wife of Potiphar. And indeed, human nature would be to participate in such a thing. And Chazal tell us that the image of Yaakov Avinu, the father of Yosef, appeared to Yosef and said, Yosef, don't do it. This is Yaakov speaking to his son, Yosef, don't get involved with her. And he says as follows, the names of your brothers will be engraved on the stones of the ephod. Do you want your name to be missing from there? And if you, chalila, get involved in this chait with the wife of Potiphar, your name will not be included on your stone. On the stone won't be there. It's not going to be included on the ephod. And accordingly, the Meshech Chachma explains beautifully that here we have Avnei Zikaron. These stones are to remind Klal Yisrael. It's to remind us that occurrence with Yosef, and that any time somebody would have a desire to do a chait, anyone who would desire to be involved in a sin should remember that occurrence of Yosef and what it can lead to. If you have a sin, it can lead to your being reduced to nothing, to be left out from the zicharon, to be left out on the ephod. So too, every person should remember what damage they can do to themselves by being involved in an avera. Now we are moving forth to number 5. We are in Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yud Ches. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu hukam a mishkan, vayaka Moshe es a mishkan. So Moshe Rabbeinu built a mishkan. Chazal tell us that during the Shiva Yemei Amilu, in the 7 days of the indoctrination of the mishkan, in fact, Moshe put up the mishkan 7 times and took it apart 7 times. And our question is, why bother putting it up and taking it down, and putting it up and taking it down 7 times? Just put it up. Why did he have to put it up and take it down and put it up and take it down? So the Rebbe Meigur answers brilliantly. He says, if you look in Jewish history as it relates to the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, We had seven buildings and seven destructions. We had the Midbar. We had the Mishkan in the Midbar and Gilgal number two and Shiloh number three and Nov number four and number five, Givon. And number six and seven, the Batei Mikdash that were destroyed. So we had the Mishkan, we had the Beis HaMikdash. Oftentimes it was destroyed by Rishoyim. And that could have been it. That could have been it. It was destroyed and it wouldn't be rebuilt. Moshe Rabbeinu here is building seven times to counteract the seven times that the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash came down and oftentimes was destroyed. And Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us a message that a destruction, lo aleinu, of the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash will never be eternal. And it may come down, but I am proactively rebuilding, says Moshe Rabbeinu, to ensure that it will be put up seven more times. And after the last one by Shlishi, there will not be another need for Moshe Rabbeinu to put it up again, because that will, the by Shlishi will be the eternal building of the Beis HaMikdash. And now we are just moving forward to the last of the Divrei Torah, number six. We are now in Perek Mem, Pasuk Lamed Ches. The Pasuk says, Ki Anan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam. The Anan, the clouds that protected a Klal Yisrael, Ki Anan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam, that was on the Mishkan during the daytime, Ve'eshti Alayla Bo, and at night was the fire, Le'ine Kol Beis Yisrael, B'chol Masehem, that was to the eyes of Klal Yisrael in all of their travel. So the Avnei Ozel says beautifully that this is a message not only talking about the travels of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, but the travels that we have, and the travails that we have, and the exiles that we have throughout history, B'chol Masehem. In all of those travels, in every galus, we have to constantly remember that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will never forsake us and never forget us and never abandon us. And there are going to be some times that are going to be okay. Times are going to be better. That is compared to the Yomam, that we had indeed the clouds during the Yomam, during the days that we're not going to need significant protection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to just have to protect us on a lower level with the clouds, but He will be protecting us even when the times are pretty good and when the times are really tough for us. That's symbolized by the night, Laila. Those are the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us to a higher level. He's going to pull out the Eish, the fire pillars that are necessary to send off and to protect us from our enemies who are really trying to attack us actively. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be here for us no matter the situation, be it Yom not so bad, be it Laila being terrible predicaments that Klal Yisrael will be in. We have to know Ki Imanu Kel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly with us and He will never forsake us. Thanks for listening.